Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hello, my name is Renee Geyer, and I support Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Be there.
Do you think that I might forget? Oh, love is radiating further away.
You're with the Priest, the Pom, and the Poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
Good evening to the Spirit Lounge. Here we are, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock every Monday night on Joy 94.9. And I'm Bertie the Pom, and I'm joined by...
Andrew the Poof.
Good evening, darling.
Good evening.
We're still missing the priest. She's still having a well-deserved rest.
She's gallivanting.
She is. She's gallivanting and relaxing. And good evening, priestie, if you're listening to us, darling. Thank you to the roundup. That was a very, very weird song they played at the end. I was sitting here thinking, I recognise this, but I don't. And that was Melissa Etheridge lyrics with the weirdest music. And it kind of made me feel weird.
I don't know. I kind of liked that track, but, you know, well... I don't know the Melissa Etheridge version, so it was like the first time I'd heard it.
Very, very strange combination to me, but hey, it's just an opinion. So what have we got on tonight's show, Andrew?
We will be speaking to Reverend Ben Gilmore. He is part of the Paddington Uniting Church.
Paddington in Sydney?
Yes, mm-hmm. In Sydney. And we're also going to be chatting a little bit about converting church buildings into buildings that are used for other things.
Mm-hmm.
So like converting a worship space into apartments or some kind of commercial venture.
Ballet schools, cafes, pubs. What do you think about that? Would you buy an apartment that used to be a church or a religious building? If you have a view on that, then please contact us on SMS 0427JOY949. You can phone us and talk to the delightful Robert on the switchboard, 1300JOY949, or email us, and that comes straight into the studio on air@joy.org.au. So how do you feel about perhaps apartments that are for sale that used to be a religious building and perhaps it's a converted church? Is that a good or a bad thing? And the other thing we're going to be talking about tonight is the demise of the church's congregations. People are no longer going to church, and why do we think that is? So again, if you have a view on that, is it the parents to blame? Are people too busy? Is it a cultural change? Are people worshipping privately? Are they not worshipping at all, becoming atheists? We'd love to hear from you. Good evening, you're on the Spirit Lounge with Bertie the Pom and Andrew the Poof. And something triggered the topics for tonight, actually, because I was zooming through the news. And there's a church in Melbourne called the New Wave Christian Fellowship Church, which has been going for 25 years, but they've recently just had to close down. And that got me thinking, why are congregations diminishing? and why do we have lots of empty church buildings, which are now very sadly being converted and changed and made into apartments or dance studios or cafes, or, you know, it's mainly residential accommodation, isn't it, in urban surrounds. But why? What about your church, Andrew? I mean, do you still get a healthy number of people going?
The church that I go to, we do get a healthy number of people, but we are, the church that I go to is known for being one of the largest churches mm-hmm. in Victoria. I previously grew up in a small church, though. So when I was in kind of high school age, mm-hmm. our church congregation actually dwindled down to probably about like maybe just 30 people showing up each Sunday, even less sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we faced a real kind of issue where we did this visioning process about whether we wanted to continue with our church with a full-time minister, which it was becoming clearer and clearer that we couldn't afford to do that, mm-hmm. Or whether we choose to close, or whether we choose to do something completely radical.
And what would the radical thing be?
So the radical solution that we came up with was to share a minister mm-hmm. With another urban church.
Yeah.
The church was Ferntree Gully Uniting Church, and we shared our minister with Scoresby Uniting Church.
Yeah.
And then as the years went on and we got better and better at doing this, we started sharing as well our minister with Bayswater Uniting Church.
There's quite a lot of consolidation going on just for survival.
Yeah, and I think the alternative was like if Ferntree Gully Church had closed down, then our members would have had to kind of go to either go to another denomination in the area mm-hmm. or travel further to go to another uniting church.
Yeah, because I was reading a statistic and it was saying that the traditional churches these days, over 50% of the congregation are, you know, pensioners effectively. So they're kind of over 60, 70. And what about your church right now? I mean, is there lots of young people coming up?
Yeah, they've got a really strong family ministry program, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I swapped to Glen Waverley.
Mm-hmm.
And because they do have lots of programs for young people, and not just people who are my age, but also like younger than me. So mm-hmm. they do like family ministry, which is kind of like, imagine playgroup mixed in with church stuff.
So it's serving the community and more than just religious sermons on a Sunday.
Yeah, actually, I would say that it's actually less and less religious sermons mm-hmm. on a Sunday, and more so sharing in community and just having maybe even just real personal one-on-one conversations mm-hmm. about what it is that you believe and where you're at in your faith journey.
Because, you know, if you look at the history of churches, they all used to be the hub of the community, didn't they? I mean, you know, people who lived in little villages and little towns before we got all these big metropolises that we have now. Or is it metropoli? I don't know. And the church was the centre of the universe for all these people, wasn't it? And that's where they would go, and everything centred around that. And that seems to have gone over the generations and generations. And now I'm reading a lot of stuff about the fact that there's a lovely organisation over in Europe called One Church. It's called One Church and 100 Different Uses. And they specialise in helping churches to survive. And one of their pieces of advice was, you know, churches need to become more socially enterprising. They need to reconnect the community in perhaps more charitable ways, and becoming once again the hub and offering more support services than simply worship. And the ones that have survived and made a real go of it are the ones that now run play schools, and they run workshops, and they run classes, and, you know, they look after the elderly, and you know, they are serving the community again in a very different way. And they've had to get people to subscribe back into even, you know, coming into that building.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair observation.
Mm.
And churches that are better at interacting with the wider community are generally much healthier.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting. Australia has experienced, I think, quite a dramatic shift with traditional denominations experience their decline. And a lot of these Pentecostal and evangelical church numbers are increasing. And apparently they're the ones who are attracting the young people who respond to services with strong emphasis on like contemporary music, and they're even offering kind of spiritual fulfillment as well. And it seems like a lot of youngsters are following that kind of trend. But I don't know. This is just what I'm reading because I don't go to any of these things, as you know. I'm a silent worshipper at home. But is it a cultural change in the population? Is it due to the breakdown in community, or is it a stronger sense of the friends and family support network that we all have now? Do people not need the church anymore because they've got such a strong, you know, family infrastructure? I think we have to go back and look at why did people used to go to church and why are they not going now. But if you have an opinion on that, do let us know. SMS 0427JOY949. You can phone us on 1300JOY949 and the delightful Robert will take your call. And if you email us, it comes straight into the studio on air@joy.org.au. So tell us what you think, whether people, why people are going to church, why they're not going to church, and what churches can do to attract people back.
Hey there, I'm Adam Lambert, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
And good evening, you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff. No priest, she's still away for another week. And that was the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, and Say a Little Prayer for Me. Now on the line, we are joined by Reverend Ben Gilmore, who is from the Uniting Church in Paddington in Sydney. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yourself?
Very, very well indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, you caught our eye because there were a few press releases going on about your recent move. Mm-hmm. Now, you used to be an Anglican minister for quite a long time. Where were you based?
Yeah, up in the Grafton Diocese, which is northern New South Wales on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I've been in Nambucca Heads, Ballina, and the last parish I was in was Mullumbimby, near Byron Bay.
Sounds... I haven't been up that part of the country yet, but it sounds lovely.
It is. It's wonderful country.
Very different from Sydney, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you made this quantum leap from the Anglican Church to the Uniting Church recently, which is why the media got hold of you. Why the move?
A number of things. I've been partnered for 4 years with a lovely man in my life, mm-hmm. and I've been working within the church for the last 6 to 8 years to provide room for dialogue and discussion around human sexuality and inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Things kind of came to a bit of a standstill in 2003 with Gene Robinson, who was the first openly partnered same-sex bishop in America.
Yep.
Then things became very hard from then on,
mm.
and I think what the culture probably moved from discussion to kind of don't ask, don't tell. The Windsor Report came out and the whole communion was threatened to split and so on and so forth.
Because you were quoted in the press release that I read, you were quoted, this is talking about the Anglican Church, by saying they'd made homosexual ministers the dividing issue of our time. Why has this become such a big and divisive issue, do you think?
Look, I think it's slightly a bit of a scapegoat, really. It's a dividing issue because of the interpretation of Scripture, really. There are those who believe that to accept homosexual clergy goes beyond the tradition and the Scripture, and then there's another group that would say, well, we also dialogue with reason and experience.
Mm-hmm.
And in that dialogue, we see that there is room for such, and we do see that such people are gifted and called into ministry.
So once again, there is a difference of interpretation, is there not?
Yes, there is a difference of interpretation and application of interpretation.
Mm, yeah. So when you started to consider a move, I mean, obviously you've landed up in Sydney, but were there other parts of the world that you would have considered moving to?
Yeah, look, I was pretty keen to stay within the Anglican Church. And my current placement, I'm actually licensed as a minister from another denomination, so I'm still licensed. I'm still an Anglican priest in the Uniting Church
mm-hmm.
For at least for the next 5 years. But yeah, I did look at exploring different options overseas, including the US and Canada and and the UK. But I think Look, I'm an Australian at heart and I want to stay in Australia.
I don't blame you. It's a beautiful, beautiful country. And now, why Sydney? Because there have been several reports that Anglican leaders' view on homosexuality is a bit still a bit conservative.
Yeah, look, this, Sydney Anglicanism is probably the most conservative form of Anglicanism in Australia. They don't have the ordination of women. Certainly, clergy who are homosexual would be not considered appropriate in that diocese. The Uniting Church, though, is probably more progressive, and in my discernment of where do I go from where I was, I think it became clear that it was very hard for me to find a place in the Australian Anglican Church broadly. And conversations with Paddington had begun, and within their constitution there was no bar to allowing me to come and minister. Also bringing my partner along with me,
which is great news. And I mean, I was reading something that about 8 years ago, the Uniting Church made this big announcement at their National Assembly, announcing that openly they would allow the ordination of gay and lesbian ministers. What triggered that, do you think? Were they responding to the progressive society here in Australia? Or?
Yeah, look, I think that's it's partly that. I think it's partly a social justice response and an equality response. Certainly, the Uniting Church had in some ways taken the bold step to enter into a good dialogue and debate on the issue of homosexual clergy, and they'd come to that decision, and it was a decision that wasn't it meant that there was no bars for it, but congregations and presbyteries then were able to either accept or you know, kind of dictate their own path in some way, but there was no overarching bar that was set. It was removed. Yeah.
Fascinating. Now, we're going to play a little bit of music and we'd love to come back and talk a bit more with you in a minute.
That would be great.
Super. And you're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with The Pom and The Puff. And that was Bail Me Out by Pete Murray. Now, we're on the phone with the Reverend Ben Gilmore. And Ben is based in the suburb of Paddington in Sydney. And he's just recently moved from the Anglican Church over to the Uniting Church. Ben, I'm not very up on all these different churches because I'm here as a complete agnostic. God knows how I ever got on this show. But tell me, what's the main differences between the Anglican and Uniting Church's beliefs when it comes to the homosexual members of the congregation? And also, do they share the same views in terms of their clergy and ministers of the church who identify as gay or lesbian?
Both churches are actually quite diverse. The Anglican Communion kind of sees itself as a non... it kind of hasn't set laws in concrete about these kind of things. And I think, so you will find, like in North America, there's no issue about homosexuals amongst as congregational members or even as clergy, where in Australia it'll be different. The Uniting Church is kind of an Australian breed of church. It's a joining together of the Methodists, quite a large proportion of the Presbyterians and the Congregationalist churches.
Okay.
And they've kind of been self-directed in how they deal with these issues. So they have synods and gatherings to discuss and work through their response in dialogue with the Christian tradition.
And how have you been accepted by your colleagues in the Uniting Church? Are you pleased with the move?
Yeah, look, so far it's been quite amazing. There's been a lot of hospitality that's been offered, and I've certainly appreciated that. I mean, I must say, like my colleagues in the Anglican Church, a lot of them didn't have issue. Just more kind of, if you like, where some of the hierarchy, the positions that they were holding, and some of the concerns they had within the communion, which was the interrelating between between the diocese and the church's congregation.
Yeah, no, that came across quite clearly, actually, in the press releases I was reading. It clearly was from higher up, and I'm sure, excuse me, you made lots of friends and had a lot of support.
Yeah.
So you've got a new community now in Paddington, and so what plans have you got for your new space?
Yeah, so this past Sunday, actually, we launched a new service, which is an emerging community, and particularly with a safe place for young people and kids,
mm-hmm.
and incorporating that into the space of our gathering. Emerging kind of doesn't require anyone to have belief up front, but it's about gathering and support and exploration as a community. I think some church communities kind of have, you've got to agree to all these doctrines and points before you can belong. Well, this community is about, no, it's about belonging and exploring the things that are meaningful in life together as a community.
Well, that's really cool, because one of the, I don't know if you were listening before we brought you on live, but one of the things we're discussing tonight is the decline in congregations, certainly in the traditional churches. And have you seen that? I mean, what's your view on why people aren't going to church anymore?
I think we're coming to an end of a Christendom era where I think churches assumed that people would just go and, you know, people were baptized and married in churches and buried. I think that really we are in an era that the churches need to begin to move, I think, beyond a consumptive model, which is kind of expecting everyone to come to them, but rather be something of help and hope and you know, all the good values that we share in our community and in the world around us. And so I think, moving from expecting people to come to us, but rather being something of good in the world and in the communities we're a part of, is, I think, a move that is probably a good thing.
Because Andrew and I were just discussing earlier, you know, the traditional churches, if you go way back hundreds and thousands of years, have always been the hub of the community, and they seem to have lost that in many ways. And I think the community, the face of communities has also, and the dynamics have also changed. But I was reading quite a lot about it over the weekend, and there's a great company over, I think, based in the UK, called One Church and Hundreds of Uses, and you know, they're helping churches. They're actually come up with a business plan to help churches which are, you know, on the brink of going bust, basically. You know, part of the enterprising ideas that they have is different ways of engaging with the community to bring them together again. And you know, it doesn't have to be just preaching and sermons on a Sunday.
Yeah, look, certainly that's a model that we've engaged with here in Paddington. Our church is accessible. In fact, we've got an art exhibition. Fiona White's got an exhibition at the moment. We have lots of musical events. Our hall has been converted into a homeless drop-in centre. And so we provide care for the community. And we also host the Paddington Markets, which is one of the biggest markets in Sydney.
Yes, I've been to it, yeah.
Every Saturday. Yeah.
That's incredible. And I've got one last question for you, because I have to ask you this, because it's just in the press so much. And as I keep saying to everyone, when this eventually happens, everyone will go, what was all the fuss about? So what are your views on marriage equality?
Yeah, my views are, from a government point of view, I think that it's ridiculous that there isn't full recognition. I think this kind of removal of or making the define between man and woman kind of restricts the civil role that the government should have in terms of equality for all. I think marriage, the word marriage in a religious tradition is actually quite loaded.
Yes.
And I think the debate about this, the debate about what that means, I think from a civil rights point of view, I support marriage equality. From a religious point of view, I think, you know, there's the goods and shackles and being one own to the other, and there's I think that there needs to be work on marriage and unpacking about what that means.
It needs to be modernised a bit, doesn't it, in terms of what it means. Because there seem to be two debates going on at the moment. There's one debate which is simply, you know, should there be or shouldn't there be? And then the second debate seems to be, well, should it be marriage or should it be a civil union? And we're reading all of these things. But either way, I certainly am with you on that. I believe in the equality issue, 100%. But, well, it's been wonderful to talk to you. And now, if people want, our listeners in Sydney, if they would like to know more about the Uniting Church in Paddington, then how can they find you? Do you have a website?
We do. It's paddingtonuca.org. au. That's probably the best point of call.
And fantastic.
You can find details there. And look, I'm really envious of Melbourne having Joy FM. I wish we had Joy. Well, we can access it over the net, but
you can.
Yeah, it's a great thing. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, it's been good.
All right. Have a nice evening. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Your voice,
your radio station,
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff and no priest because she's still gallivanting around in WA. Now, we're having an interesting show because we're talking about why are congregations in churches on the decline? Why are people no longer going to church anymore? And as a result of that, churches then aren't getting the proper funding. And then you start to see derelict buildings and churches in disrepair and in disuse. And then they get converted into apartments and cafes and studios and all sorts of things. And so how do you feel about, I mean, would you buy an apartment that was a church? Would you, Andrew?
I personally would love it. I actually think that old buildings have this particular kind of character about them, and I think I would love to be in that space living my everyday life. But I know that not everybody agrees with me.
You see, I was thinking about this as I was driving up to do the show tonight, and I was thinking my wee kirk in Edinburgh in Scotland, my wee kirk is where we were all christened, it's where my parents were married, it's where my grandparents are buried, it's where my cousins got married. And if somebody said to me, you know, Cremond Kirk in Barrington in Edinburgh was suddenly becoming a bunch of apartments or, you know, a studio or a pub or a hotel, or I'm not sure how I'd feel about that. I think I'd be pretty upset, actually. But it is quite a substantial Presbyterian church. But and I know this doesn't happen to the really big churches, and I know this is happening to perhaps the smaller ones. You know, they're not such big, they're not such old historical buildings, which the national, you know, they're not necessarily part of our heritage because they haven't been that old. Because some of them are preserved, aren't they? Some of these churches are listed buildings.
Yes, some are. I believe the ones that are listed generally
they can't
don't
be.
Close.
Well, they don't close. No, they're no close. And they can't be converted. No, they can't. Anyway, so we've been talking about all of that tonight. And we've had lots of tweets, which I've been calling twits.
Yes. Got to get the name right. So Peter has said, Peter the panellist, he says he would love to live in a converted space. Mm. And I always think that a church can be the least used space in a town, and that can make a poor use of the space. It's better to invest in people, as far as from the church's perspective, it's better to invest in people than in buildings.
Hmm, that's a good point. Hi, Peter. We miss you.
And Blair says that it would really depend on the conversion. Sometimes conversions can be really awesome and beautiful, but some can be rather tragic.
Mm, not well done.
Mm.
That's true. Yeah, architecturally it can be very, very clever.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Paul has said, I don't think I'd feel comfortable having sex in a church if it was converted into an apartment.
Well, then don't have sex then.
Apparently there's some kind of link there into a horror movie. I'm not sure. I don't watch a lot of horror movies.
God. I don't know what you've been watching, hun. Any more tweets? Or should we go on to SMSs? Now, we've had a long SMS from Daniel Murphy, which I'd really like to read out. Dan's from Kensington. And this is talking about the demise of church congregations and generally churchgoers. I don't believe the church can entice people back until people themselves realise why they had faith to start off with. A lot of people used to believe, partly because they were taught to, but also because they wanted to believe that there was something more out there. Since the modern age is all about explaining anything and maybe he means everything, and always asking the question of why and wanting explanations, people rarely take things just on faith anymore. People generally seem to find faith when something wrong happens. Now, very poignant, take 9/11, which of course was the 10th date yesterday. Congregations saw mass turnout to their services because they needed to believe again and to know that there was something out there for the lost souls. People then became complacent again and didn't need to believe. That's only just one thing that I've seen and discussed with friends about church and religion. There are most likely other reasons as well. But no, very, very good point. You know, why do we suddenly turn to return to our faith in times of need? Why are we not loyal to our faith on an ongoing basis? That's a really, really good point, Dan. Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Andrew?
I think, just reflecting on that, there's something about surrender. So when things get really bad, and I know within my own life, when as soon as I give up on something and I'm like, you know what, I've tried everything that's humanly possible to change this thing or to solve this problem, and as soon as I like give up on it and don't worry about it, then something happens with it. And I think maybe that is a reflection of kind of like, you know, when there's times of tragedy, people do flock to churches because there's something unexplainable about what happens there.
And you can't, and the human brain can't process what's going on, especially something as horrific as that on that scale. And yeah, you're looking for a superpower. You're looking for something beyond tangibility to try and, I think, help you comprehend what's going on the planet, do you think?
Yeah.
But no, it's great. So we've been talking about congregations and the lack of in churches these days, which leads to the lack of funding, which leads to churches falling into disuse and disrepair, and then, of course, being converted into other sorts of buildings. And interesting, though, you don't see mosques and synagogues up for sale much, do you?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't been watching the property market that closely.
But I was reading something else. It's quite funny. The Anglican Church reported that some of their churches are merging with nearby congregations in order to survive, which was exactly what we were saying earlier. And the United Church of Victoria sells about 6 churches on average every year. And they've produced a property and grief booklet to help people deal with the loss of a building. You see, because people get really attached to historical buildings.
But it's not just historical buildings. Like, you know, that booklet would also be used, like, if they had to sell the manse, for example. So the manse is the house where the minister lives.
I know.
Then if your church finds themselves in a situation where they do have to sell that property, that property isn't just a house. It's like it's been looked after for generations by the families that go to that church.
Yeah, no, it's had a phenomenal history. And very personal things happen in churches, just like I was saying earlier, you know, and lovely things, weddings and christenings, and, you know, are your grandparents probably buried in the graveyard? And yeah, they're very, very meaningful things. So, yeah, so there's a property and grief booklet, which I thought was really sweet.
There are some other churches which we're seeing form that do church without walls, so like without actually being tied down to a building.
Well, that's what Ben was saying. They can't be complacent anymore and expect people to come to church. The church has actually got to go out to the people these days. Do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with it.
And they're called, what are they called? They're planting churches, aren't they?
Planting. There's different names for them. Okay. There's planting churches, there's the emerging church, the postmodern church. So there's plenty of different names. And there's some which are kind of based around subcultures within the community. So you're seeing some churches form around like skateboarding and like surf churches, hip-hop churches.
Hip-hop churches.
You know, like if there's some kind of common thread and then using that as a tool to build a community and using stories and experiences to start exploring issues of faith. And I think that's a really cool way of doing church, actually.
I think it's great, yeah. I think, I understand it's the Anglican and Methodist church ministers who are pioneering this, because I've heard of this in other countries. Congregations meet in kind of secular places like cafes or homes or, as you say, kind of, you know, they're out there surfing or they're rollerblading or whatever they do. And, you know, do we have to go to a religious building to pray and worship and connect with God? Probably not. I think you should be able to do it anywhere. I have to say, though, as not a very religious person, I actually love churches. I mean, I don't go traipsing about, you know, on church tours, but I do love them. And when there's been moments in my life where I've needed that extra something, or just to think straight, it's not very often, but anyway, when I do try and think straight, you know, I find churches great places of solace and great places of tranquility where I can get my head around things and actually feel probably, you know, more calm than I do outside. And so I think, you know, they're beautiful places. So, but it's a changing world. And I think, to quote Ben, yeah, I think the church has to go out to the community these days. And there's a lot of people pioneering that change, aren't there?
There are. There are lots of people who are working on lots of different ways that you can experience and connect with a community that is a church community. Mm. So even things like a cyber church where you kind of just meet online.
Virtual church.
Virtual church, yes. Or the one that I love, which is a church that meets in a pub. How good is that? We should totally start that.
We should.
I'm not sure that it would blend in with your peace and quiet and solidarity. It would suit me down to the ground, though, I believe.
Well, I could go to both, couldn't I?
You could. Yes.
Yes. We'll go to one for a prayer and one for a pint.
Yes. We've got a track coming up from Aretha Franklin, who is our artist of the month.
Absolutely.
To feel so uninspired.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. We've been talking about doing church without walls and different ways to experience faith.
We have, and it kicked off. We were talking to Ben Gilmore earlier, who is with the Uniting Church in Paddington in Sydney, and we were just quickly touched on the subject of the drop in church attendance on the whole, and that leading to lack of funding and obviously buildings being left empty, which is very sad. And then, of course, these churches get converted. And so one of the conclusions tonight is that really the churches need to get with it and get out there and take the church out to the people and reach out to the community a bit more and be a bit more enterprising. And we're talking about ministers from various denominations. I think Methodist and Uniting are two of them who are going out, and they're called planting ministers.
And we asked you what you think about doing church without the building. James has texted in and he says, I see it as doing faith. We are the church.
It's people, not bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Blair says, he's been doing church without the building for years. I'm increasingly positive about it. Not that I see the need to jettison going to church with the building as well. And Grant says, isn't the Gospel of St. Thomas, isn't that what it's kind of all about? The kingdom of God lies in your heart, not in the building.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't disagree with any of that. I think what I was saying earlier was I actually just love churches. I love them as buildings from the outside and the inside.
I think we need to plan your holiday to Adelaide.
The city of churches, is that right?
Yes.
Well, if my friends are listening from Sydney, I'm on my way, girls. Not Sydney, Adelaide. Sorry, I'm talking rubbish. Yes, I've yet to visit Adelaide, and I have heard all about the churches. I'm looking forward to my visit.
If you are in Adelaide, you could be listening using the iPhone app, the Joy iPhone app. You can find it on the App Store by typing in Joy 94.9, and you'll be able to listen to us on air all the time, wherever you are.
24/7.
And if you have enjoyed tonight's program, we are going to podcast it. It'll be up on our website. It's spiritlounge949.weebly.com. Or you can go to joy.org.au and you'll be able to find it there as well.
Wonderful. Well, it's been a great show. And thank you to everyone who's contributed tonight with their opinions and thoughts on falling congregations and falling down buildings. And we will be back same time, same place next week. And we're going to finish with a lovely man called Jack Johnson. And if I could, good night.
This
podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.